It's the Sci-Fi Show. Welcome to episode 1 of The Sci-Fi Show. I'm your host, Jason. Thanks for tuning in. I'm not exactly sure how these shows are going to work yet. Currently, it's just me talking about interesting philosophical questions that turn up in the many and varied works of science fiction. I'd maybe like to have guest co-hosts on the show to have a discussion about the various works, if anybody out there listening is interested, although I guess I'll need to work all of the mechanics of that out. I'm also looking for ideas and suggestions for topics that can be covered in future shows. If you have a philosophical topic you'd like to see covered, or a movie that you'd like to see discussed, or best of all, a specific philosophical topic that occurs in a movie you know of, then please drop me a line. I can be reached at thescifishow@gmail.com, or leave a comment on the blog, thescifishow.blogspot.com. And remember, the fire's with a PH. I'd also like to put some discussion forums up for the show, so if anybody knows about setting that sort of thing up, please, if you could drop me a line, that'd be much appreciated. Anyway, let's get on with the first show. The work of sci-fi under discussion today is the 1990 Paul Verhoeven film Total Recall. The movie is based on the Philip K. Dick short story We Can Remember It For You Wholesale and stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sharon Stone. As you'll no doubt remember, the movie revolves around the story of Douglas Quaid and his ongoing struggle against the Martian mining magnate Cohagen. Cohagen is the man with the best job in the solar system. All he needs to do is keep an ore called Turbidium flowing, and he can do whatever he likes. However, all is not well for Cohagen, as Mars has a group of rebels on it that want freedom from Cohagen's iron rule. The Martian rebels are led by the mysterious Quarto, whom Cohagen would dearly like to be rid of. Which brings us around to Doug Quaid. Doug is married to the beautiful Laurie and has a Flintstone-esque job at the local construction site. But Doug is troubled by dreams of Mars and wants to go there. Being unable to do that, Doug tries the next best thing and goes to get an artificial holiday from a company called Recall. They specialize in artificial memory implants that are indistinguishable from a real holiday. So Doug signs up, along with a secret agent bonus implant, for the trip, and then everything goes to hell. It turns out that Doug is really someone else, and that the memory implantation procedure pops a memory cap and causes a schizoid embolism. Whatever that is exactly. The Recall staff freak out and fear that this was done by some all-powerful secret group called the Agency. From there, Doug is on the run, and it turns out that everybody he knew in his life decides to try and kill him. He is saved from part of this by a mysterious man who gives Doug a briefcase and some tips on eluding capture. From there, Doug discovers that he used to be Hauser, an operative of Cohagen's who changed sides and joined the Mars Resistance. From there, Doug goes to Mars, finds the Resistance, meets Quarto, gets betrayed, and gets himself captured. Along the way, there's lots of action and shooting, and strangely a woman with three breasts. After being captured, Doug learns the truth, that Hauser has not really changed sides at all, but was still working for Cohagen and volunteered to have his memory erased. He became Quaid deliberately to allow him to bypass telepathic scans by the mutants in the Mars Resistance. At this point, Doug and his new, old girlfriend Melina are strapped into brain implant chairs, and Cohagen prepares to have Quaid erased and Hauser's memories put back in Hauser's body. Then Quaid escapes, more fighting and explosions and action, and then Quaid saves the day and kills all of our guys, saving Mars and giving it a breathable atmosphere. A happy ending all round. The interesting question that is asked in the movie Total Recall is one of personal identity. What does it mean to be you? What makes you, you? The movie answers the question with the idea that you are the sum total of your memories. This is known as the memory theory of personal identity, funnily enough. But this leads to a number of questions. Memory are recollections of experiences that you've had during your life, and what makes you you is this collection of sense experiences. This seems straightforward enough, but a host of questions are raised from there, some of which are explored in Total Recall. First up, we have Recall, a fake memory tour company.
Do you dream of a vacation at the bottom of the ocean, but you can't float the bill? Have you always wanted to climb the mountains of Mars, but now you're over the hill? Then come to Recall Incorporated, where you can buy the memory of your ideal vacation cheaper, safer, and better than the real thing. So don't let life pass you by. Call Recall for the memory of a lifetime.
For the memory of a lifetime, Recall, Recall, Recall.
And this brings up another really interesting question in the film. Clearly, Doug Quaid remembers his marriage to his wife, and his life with her, and everything that goes along with being Doug Quaid. Yet as he discovers...
They erased your identity and implanted a new one. I was written in as your wife so that I could watch you and make sure the erasure took.
Sorry, Quaid. Your whole life is just a dream.
Which yields the obvious question from Doug Quaid.
Okay, then. If I'm not me, who the hell am I?
As we discover, Quaid turns out to be Hauser, someone who used to be in Cohagen's employ, and the encounter goes something like this.
Howdy, stranger. This is Hauser. If things have gone wrong, I'm talking to myself, and you've got a wet towel wrapped around your head. Now, whatever your name is, get ready for the big surprise. You, not you, you're me.
And again, this revelation leads to an interesting question. Clearly, Doug Quaid is only about 6 weeks old, even if he has false memories going back further. Prior to that time, he was Hauser. But what does this mean? Is Hauser dead now, or is he just in some sort of suspended animation? And clearly, Doug's body's been around the place, but his mind hasn't. So what does that mean? Which is illustrated rather amusingly in a conversation with Benny the taxi driver.
First time on Mars?
Yes. Well, actually no. Well, sort of.
That's the question, isn't it? Has Quaid been to Mars before? His body certainly has, even if he has no memory of it. And would he have been to Mars after the recall holiday? After all, he'd have memories of going to Mars, but his body had never been there. More and more puzzling as we go further and further down the rabbit hole. What is the nature of Hauser and Quaid's relationship? Is there something that continues between Hauser and Quaid that makes them the same person, or are they two totally different people, inhabiting the same body at different times? Total Recall seems to come down firmly on the side of the idea that Quaid and Hauser are different people inhabiting the same body at different times. That when Hauser is alive, Quaid does not exist, and when Quaid is in the body of Hauser, Hauser's effectively dead. This understanding is also shared by Quaid when he struggles for his life after Cohagen captures him and seeks to have Hauser's memory restored. And this raises some interesting questions for us in the real world as well. If you're the sum total of your memories, what does this mean for someone with permanent amnesia? Are they dead? Seems like a rather strange conclusion to draw, but it seems to follow from the premise of the movie. What about someone with Alzheimer's disease or anything else that has the potential to destroy your memory? But consider less drastic cases. There are bound to be things that you used to remember that you no longer can. Say memories from your early childhood. At some point in the past, you could remember these things, but now you cannot. You've forgotten them as you have aged and so on. But does this mean that the child you were no longer exists? Well, clearly in one sense, the child no longer exists. But are you continuous with that person? That you're a different person because you share a different set of memories with them? Or are you continuous with the child you once were? What sort of change does this changing collection of memories you have? Historically, there have been two schools of thought on this point, that of Aristotle and that of Heraclitus, both ancient Greek guys. Heraclitus famously remarked that you could not step into the same river twice, because the water that made up the river at the time you stepped into it was gone, and you stepped into a different body of water the next time you entered the river. This is contrasted with the thought of Aristotle, who would say that although the actual water in the river was different, that the river was still the same river. It had undergone a change, clearly, but not a change in a way that destroys its essential nature as a river. What applies to the river could also apply to your memories as well. It seems strange to draw the conclusion that there's no you that persists through time, but that's clearly the implication of Heraclitus's right. You seem to experience yourself persisting through time. Yet if the memory theory of identity is correct, then that understanding is mistaken because there is no you that persists through time at all. But which understanding is right? Something to think about. Another interesting question that is raised in passing in the film is the idea of your perceptions and reality. It is only touched on briefly in the film, but the film does leave the question unresolved. About halfway through, on Mars, Doug encounters the Doctor from Recall, and the conversation, clipped for relevance, goes like this.
Mr. Quaid?
What?
I need to talk to you about Mr. Hauser.
Who are you?
Dr. Edgemar from Recall.
How did you find me?
It's a little difficult to explain. Could you open the door? I'm unarmed. Don't worry, I'm alone. May I come in?
What do you want?
Well, this is going to be very difficult for you to... Mr. Quaid.
I'm listening.
I'm afraid you're not really standing here right now.
You know, Doug, you could have fooled me.
I'm quite serious. You're not here, and neither am I.
That's amazing. Where are we?
At Recall. You're strapped into an implant chair, and I'm monitoring you from the psychoprobe console.
Get it. I'm dreaming. And all this is part of the delightful vacation your company has sold me.
Right? Not exactly. What you're experiencing is a freeform delusion based on our memory tapes. But you're inventing it yourself as you go along.
If it is my delusion, who the hell invited you?
I've been artificially implanted as an emergency measure. I'm sorry to tell you this, Mr. Quaid, but you've suffered a schizoid embolism. We can't snap you out of your fantasy. And I've been sent in to try to talk you down.
How much is Cohagen paying you for this?
Think about it. Your dream started in the middle of the implant procedure. Everything after that, the chases, the trip to Mars, the suite at the Hilton, are all elements of your recall holiday and ego trip. You paid to be a secret agent.
Bull.
What's bull, Mr. Quaid? That you're having a paranoid episode triggered by acute neurochemical trauma? Or that you're really an invincible secret agent from Mars who's the victim of an interplanetary conspiracy to make him think he's a lowly construction worker?
Then Doug sees a bead of sweat running down the Doctor's forehead, and he shoots him, allowing for more mayhem and excitement. Then right at the end of the film, Doug quips to Melina as they stand on the new oxygen-rich Martian surface.
What's wrong?
I just had a terrible thought. What if this is a dream?
Well then, kiss me quick before you wake up.
Which left me wondering a little, which is correct. After all, the movie would still make perfect sense if Doug Quaid had had a schizoid embolism, and the entire adventure after recall was just a delusion he created. Although I'm not sure that's the conclusion you're supposed to draw. The movie ends before this plotline can be resolved. Do you ever wonder about questions like that? Is your life just a dream? And how would you know? I guess it seems relevant to me because when I was younger I got hit by a car, went to the hospital. All the usual things you go through with being hit by a car, surgery and stays in hospital and recovery and all the rest of it. A bit like Doug and his schizoid embolism. How do I know I'm not a coma patient somewhere, lying in a hospital ward dreaming my life? Although to be honest, if I was dreaming my life, I'd hope I'd have a better imagination.
The invasion fleet stood on full alert. Admiral Thurlock paced the bridge of his flagship, eye stalks trembling with fury. The door dilated, and Chief Knowledgeist Grimble entered nervously.
"Is it true?" the Admiral growled. "Have the Earthlings destroyed themselves before we could get to them?"
No, sir, said Chief Grimble. All radio emissions from the Earth did go silent, but it's not because they destroyed themselves. Quite the opposite. He held up a small rectangle of white plastic. They've been hurling these into space in place of radio waves. It's called an iPod shuffle.
Great gods, said the Admiral. Could they have advanced so quickly?
They have, sir. We've been analyzing the contents. We've learned that Earth's media dictatorship has fallen, replaced by a free republic of so-called podcasts. Everyone has total free expression, and all their music can be played without a license. They all gather in an alley to elect their leaders. Currently the benevolent Queen Dawn and King Drew in the capital city of Coverville.
But how, the Admiral demanded, where did they get such ideas?
Well, sir, you're not going to like this part. Although they're free, they all bow to a supreme overlord, Adam Curry.
Curry has conquered another planet? The Admiral roared. Damn that galactic rock and roll geek. This is the bitterest pill indeed.
Yes, sir. What shall we do, sir?
Do? Well, we can't fight them. We'll have to create a podcast of our own and corrupt their regime from within. Get me a computer, a microphone, the cheapest mixer you can find. We will show them that we, too, have audacity.
Yes, sir, said Grimble, backing away slowly. This wasn't going to go well. He wondered if there was time to jump ship. The Wiener Rebellion was still going on in the asteroid belt. Surely they had need for an evil genius.
And prepare the Votatron!
Escape Pod, the science fiction podcast magazine. Find us at escape.extraneous.org.
Normally at this point in the show, I'd like to read some listener feedback and the like. But seeing as this is the first show, the listener feedback bucket is empty. So, if you have feedback, send us some email at thescifishow@gmail.com. Or leave a comment on the blog, thescifishow.blogspot.com. And remember, that's sci-fi with a PH. So that brings us to the end of our first episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. So if you do have any suggestions, please drop us a line or shoot us a comment on the blog. Is there anything in the show that could be done better? Probably, no doubt. Do you have ideas for shows? Would you like to come on the show as a guest to discuss one of the topics? If any of these things intrigue you, then by all means, drop us a line. In the next show, I'm going to have a look at the idea of crime, punishment, and justice, as found in the Steven Spielberg 2003 movie Minority Report, based on the Philip K. Dick story of the same name. Thanks again for listening, and I'll talk to you soon. This program is copyright Jason Rennie 2005, and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. The song Electrogun was used by permission of Nova Surfer. More great sci-fi surf guitar can be found at www.novasurfer.nl.